Welcome to Living Bread, the broadcast from Bread of Heaven Church.
Feed your soul and set your spirit free.
We are located in the heart of Nashville, Tennessee at 2430 Jefferson Street. Our pastor is Elder Russell Perkin, an anointed teacher and preacher. The conference call you're about to enjoy happens twice a month on Monday evening at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Please be sure to mute your phone for the call and open your heart for a word from the Lord.
So praise the Lord, everybody. It's good to be on the Bread of Heaven call tonight. And let's pray. Can you hear me? Somebody say yes.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you for this call. Thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we ask that you bless. Lord, we praise you. We honor you. We thank you. Lord, have your way tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to talk about storms tonight. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to be in Mark, the fourth chapter, starting at verse 35. As you know, that's the story about the storm coming up and Jesus saying, peace be still, and the storm being calm. But I have some questions for you. Well, a question. And who can think of biblical characters who were in a storm, whether it was it could be a physical storm like Jonah, but in a storm in their lives, Old Testament or New, anybody that was in a storm and they needed the help of the Lord to bless them? All right, I'll give you one. David, when he's getting ready to fight Goliath, David, when he was being chased by Saul. Job, already mentioned him. Jonah, he was in an actual storm in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. Anybody else?
You in the lion's den?
Yeah. Daniel in the lion's den? Elder Jura?
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah, that's what I was
going to say. Yeah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Peter in prison, 12th chapter, because they had just beheaded James, but an angel intervened. Jesus was in a different kind of storm at Gethsemane. Anybody else?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist sure was.
Yeah.
I can't hear you, Jerry.
John the Revelator, the one that gave us Revelation.
Yes. At what point are we talking?
History said he was bored in oil, but it didn't kill him. So they sent, but we do know that he went to the island of Patmos.
Patmos. He was exiled to the Isle of Patmos.
Yeah.
And he's one of the few that showed up at the cross with Jesus' mother.
Yeah.
The Shunammite woman, whose son died, but yet she said it as well. Yeah. Hannah in the tabernacle.
Lot and his
Lot.
Lot.
Yeah. Lot under.
Jairus. It's all coming to you now. Jairus.
Yes.
And the woman had the issue of blood, all that.
Woman with the issue of blood.
I have a question. With the thief on the cross with Jesus, he considered in a storm?
Yeah, they're in a storm. Because not only were they finna die, they finna go to hell if Jesus didn't intervene. Hannah in the tabernacle is shallow. Somebody's talking and not answering the questions.
It's the Bread of Heaven, people.
It's my man.
Sister Renetta, we can hear all that. Just the net. Go on mute.
They gave them that from school.
All right. Somebody text her, please. Oh my God. Hey, y'all. Renetta, Rod, please. We can hear y'all. Thank you. All right. Anybody else?
Adam and Eve?
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
All the disciples who were in that physical storm.
Yes. Absolutely. Anybody else? Any other biblical characters you can think of for being in the storm? What about Esther?
Yes.
And her relative Mordecai? They finna wipe out all the Jews.
Yeah.
And the Lord intervened.
What about Noah?
You better believe it.
Yeah.
You're definitely in a real storm, 40 days and 40 nights. Then got out of that and got in another storm. Got drunk, and y'all know the story, Genesis, the 9th chapter. Wow. Moses was in a storm, right? He said, this thing is known. He done killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. He had to go in the lamb. And for 40 years, out on the backside of the desert. And then 40 years back in the wilderness with some hard-headed people. And sometimes he'd be so upset that he'd strike a rock instead of speaking to it. And Psalm 61 tells us that when our hearts are overwhelmed, that he will lead us to a rock that is higher. And that's part of the story we have tonight.
Pastor, am I muted?
I can hear you now.
I'm so sorry, y'all. I don't know how to, I'm going to have to put this in the closet because I'm not able to mute myself, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm just going to put it in the closet.
All righty then. anybody else?
The children of Israel.
Children of Israel. Doing in the furnace of affliction and in the wilderness as well.
Jeremiah.
Yeah. Put them in the system. Anybody else?
Jacob.
All by himself. A stone for a pillar. Times when he felt like, then at the end when he wrestled with the angel and he thought Esau was going to try to kill him. The Lord to be.
Did anybody say Joseph?
Nope, that was Naaman.
Oh, put into a pit. Here comes this dreamer. Let's kill him. And then they sold him in the prison. Then he ended up in prison down in Egypt. Can you imagine that? 17 years old, fatherless, brotherless, in prison on a false charge, no lawyer, no hope of getting out. He interpreted a dream in prison. Then the person, the cupbearer for whom he interpreted a dream, forgot all about it. So he's in there all these years, 13 years to 30 years old. But yet in the prison, it said that God gave him favor with the keeper of the prison and that everything that was done in the prison, Joseph was to do of.
Awesome, Mary and Martha.
Yes, when Lazarus, their brother, died, that was a most definite storm. Jesus, if you had been here, they both said it.
Daniel.
My brother would not have done. Daniel, yes. In the lion's den. Daniel in the first chapter, where he had the storm of trying to be brainwashed and to eat at the king's table. And he decided that he would not. And the Lord brought him into favor, hallelujah, with the prince of the eunuchs. And he did not have to eat from the king's table. He did not allow himself to be brainwashed. And God raised him up. He had 122 people trying to get him killed in the sixth chapter. And that's why the decree was signed about asking a petition of any God, other any entity other than the king. Oh, my Lord. Anybody else in the storm?
Mephibosheth.
Mephibosheth, lame on his feet in a place of no communication, a rightful heir to the throne, no hope, no way of getting his property, no way of avoiding death, couldn't fight for himself.
Isaac?
And Mephibosheth, 2 Samuel 9th chapter. And David said, after he had become king and kind of got things calmed down, said, hallelujah, is there anyone left yet of the house of Saul that I can do a kindness for Jonathan's sake? Hallelujah, hallelujah. And they said, go fetch him. When he found out that Mephibosheth still lived. David was in a big storm when his own son, Absalom, led a rebellion. He had to flee. He had to flee in order to avoid. And then he had the storm when he instructed his men, do not bother Absalom. Do not kill him. They knew he was a snake, and their loyalty to the king made them kill him. And of course, that was a storm for David, because he loved them, and probably in his heart of hearts felt he could have done something to avoid this situation from getting to where it was. Hallelujah. Any other, what about the woman with the issue of blood?
Yeah.
Spent all the money trying to get to Jesus. But there was a crowd in the way. Somehow she got there and touched the hem of his garment.
Nehemiah.
Nehemiah, praise the Lord.
Because they wanted to kill him. They was conspiring to attack him.
Wanted to kill him. He said, I've started a good work and I can't come down.
Right.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Like this, Pastor.
What about Ruth? What about Ruth and Naomi?
Yeah.
Widows. No visible means of support. In Moab.
Moab. Yeah.
Needed some help. God intervened. God put a roof in the field where Boaz was. And God did the rest. Rahab. Reputed to be a harlot, but God saved her. Put her in the line of Christ. Go ahead.
Samson.
He had a big storm. Cut off his hair, the source of his strength, put out his eyes, had him like an ox grinding out wheat in prison, making fun of him, mocking him. Oh, but what they didn't know, they couldn't do anything about those roots, and his hair began to grow back. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And he struck a blow against the enemy and killed more in his death than he had killed all through in his life. Hallelujah.
Judas,
a real storm, because he could not repent. He could not get right with God. He was the son of perdition, and he felt some sort of grief. He tried to give the money back and all that, but judgment had been pronounced. Storm.
Did we say Joshua and Caleb with the giant?
No. Joshua and Caleb, two of the 12 spies, came back with a good report, but they were outnumbered. Hallelujah. They were outvoted by the 10. We are well able, Caleb said, to possess the land. What about Moses? When they were losing the battle, he had to sit on a rock and have Aaron and Hur hold up his hands. And while they held up his hands, praise God, the battle raged in favor of the Israelites. And then come Joshua, five nations coming against him. Hallelujah. And he said, son, stand still. Hallelujah. And the Lord gave The enemies couldn't strike a blow against him and sneak away under the cover of darkness. And he wiped them out. Anybody else?
Hezekiah
had a death sentence on him because of his health. He turned his face to the wall. And the Lord gave him 15 more years. He had another storm. He later, because of disobedience, became a leper. Go ahead.
Abraham and Isaac.
Oh, my God. That's a storm, isn't it? His only beloved son. His son of his beautiful wife, his beloved wife, his son of his old age, his son of promise. The Lord said, give him up. Hallelujah. And he was about to do what the Lord said. And the angel said, stay your hand. There's a ram in the thicket. There's a ram in the bushes. Hallelujah. And Abraham was talking faith all the time. Son asked him a question, Isaac. And he said, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. Praise the name of the Lord. So many storms. What about the personal storms? Maybe we don't want to get too deep into that. But times when we were overwhelmed, the times when it looked naturally hopeless, the times when we were, you know, you can be in a tough situation, you know, when you have all of your strength and you got all kinds of support. And even though it might seem hopeless, it seems bearable because you got your strength and you get some help and you get some encouragement. But what about when you're by yourself? What about in the midnight hour? What about when you're struggling with stuff that you just really can't find anybody you can really talk about at that moment to clear it up, right? And that's a storm. Jesus was in a storm when he went to Bethany, and Lazarus was dead. He knew what he was going to do, but he groaned within his spirit and he wept and he got to the tomb and he groaned some more. Praise God. Got to Gethsemane. Hallelujah. Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Hallelujah. But nevertheless, Lord, not my will, thy will. Hallelujah. All right. Mark 4:35-41. And the same day, Jesus had a busy day of ministry. You can look at the fourth chapter and see what all he was doing. Parable of the sower, some other things. And the same day when the even was come. So something we don't think about much. It was either getting dark or just about dark. So it's bad enough to be in a storm. And here was getting to be nighttime. So dealing with the storm in the dark, I bet everybody on this call has dealt with a storm and have felt in the dark because you didn't know what to do. When the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. This is Jesus talking. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So not only was the boat that they were in was no big ship like the big ships we see, the cruise ships or the big ships we see on the Cumberland River here in Nashville. It was a small ship by today's standard. And then there were some other little ships with them. And there arose, it happened all of a sudden, no warning. Anybody ever been in a storm without warning? Anybody get a phone call and all of a sudden somebody you love with all your heart is gone on the glory? And there arose a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. You get over to, is it Matthew's version? I think it's Matthew's version. It's in Matthew 8, and then there's a version in Luke. Matthew just says it was full of water. They got swamped. They got overwhelmed. You ever felt swamped? Ever felt overwhelmed? Praise the Lord. Here they were. And so there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. It does not say it was raining. It does not say it was raining. Hallelujah. A great storm of wind. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Hallelujah. Chances are it seems like it would have been raining. It doesn't say that. And he was in the hinder part of the ship. Jesus was asleep. Asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we die? Master, 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 we about to die. We about to die, Master. You gon' you don't care if we die? Hallelujah. And he arose and rebuked the wind. Notice he didn't rebuke them. He did ask them a question. And that's the beautiful thing about it is, as the good shepherd, he had that rod for the wind and the waves, but he had a question. A question designed. It's a teachable moment. Why are you so fearful? But let's go back, verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He had a full day of ministry. He had a multitude. Everybody thronging him. And then he finally gets a moment of rest. And then the storm came up and they came and woke him up. He arose. He rose to the occasion. How many of you know that Jesus will arise to the occasion? But you got to wake him up. Hallelujah. You got to let him know how much you need him. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? These questions were not designed to keep them all depressed. It was designed to let them know that they were capable of much more. Hallelujah. And sometimes we need somebody to push us that way in the direction of what God called us to be. Hallelujah. We're not supposed to be walking around here scared. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? It's not a jump to say they were more scared after they got saved, after they got rescued, because they were standing in the presence of holiness. They were standing in the presence of deity. The power that Jesus had over, he didn't pray. He, by edict, by declaration, by authoritative decree, told the wind, peace be still, told the wind to obey. It's like telling the child, behave. And he did that. And there was a great calm immediately. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So the fear they had exceeded the fear they had before when their lives were in danger. And that's how it is. You can't have an encounter with Jesus and be the same. That's why when people come up talking about they want to be saved or they want to be baptized and they super cool, it bothers me. Because if you're really, really stirred up by the Lord, something's going to show. You might not be a super emotional person, but there's going to be some brokenness. There's going to be some kind of reaction to an encounter of the Lord. Convicting you, pushing you, hallelujah, toward the altar. That's something's going to happen. Something's going to happen within you. It's not going to be a cool moment, hallelujah. And they feared exceedingly. Say one to another, what manner of man is this? We know that Jesus initiated a glorious, unshakable kingdom And guess who gets to come to the kingdom and be in blood washed strangers and pilgrims? Us, unworthy, but brought to the kingdom. Hallelujah. In the presence of the king. We can call on the king. We got access to the king. Praise the Lord. We can have fellowship with him. He said he stands at the door and knocks, and if anybody will open up and let him in, he will come in and sup and fellowship with us. Hallelujah. But there's a lot in this. We're talking about storms. That's a simple title. We need to recognize the Lord's. Well, let me say this. The scripture, I think it's in Jeremiah. I've quoted it. The Lord stretched out the heavens by his discretion. He felt like it was his prerogative. We need to know who Jesus is and who he was as he walked the earth, that he is in fact God wrapped in flesh. We need to recognize the Lord's discretionary authority to cause or allow a storm in your life. All of these names and one photograph and one actual person with a baby on video. He has the discretionary authority to cause or allow a storm in your life. On Monday, I'm told I was on TV Monday night. I've seen a little bit of a snippet of a video concerning a case I was in. Some of the case involved matters of discretion, and some of it involved matters of just following the law. Lord has discretionary authority to cause or allow a storm in your life. It is incumbent upon us to trust him and to surrender to the fact that Jesus, who is the Lord over every storm, has the prerogative to rock your little boat. In Latin, the word for priest is pontifex, which can be translated bridge. Jesus indeed is our great high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. When a storm blows through, you better take it to the bridge. In other words, you better invoke the jurisdiction of heaven and wake Jesus up to the fact that now you know how much you really need him and how much you really needed him all the while, even while everything is good. And you know what? I'm convinced that the Lord allows storms in our lives sometimes. And David is the name that comes to mind when he had to go and run for Saul at least 10 years. I read one scholar said 15 years, at least 10 years running for his life, had two chances to kill Saul, but would not touch God's anointing. That could have ended that then. He could have just, you know, he could have did him like he did Goliath and just carried around his head and it would have been over with. But he had such a respect and call on his life that he would not touch God's anointed, even when God's anointed got off track, got crazy. Hallelujah. That period of being chased by Saul was really a period of consecration for David. A consecration he needed later in life when things went wrong, when he had to deal with issues, when he, in 2 Samuel, the 5th chapter, the Philistines came in array and said, "Shall I go up, Lord?" He had a relationship with God. He said, shall I go up? And the Lord said, go up. And he whooped them. A little while later, they came and did the same thing and set themselves in array. Said, Lord, shall I go up? What? He had those 10 years of consecration. And the Lord said, no. Let me give you a fresh word. We can't go on what I told you last time. Fetch a compass. Go behind. When you hear the sound of angelic marching at the top of the mulberry trees, then you bestir yourself. That's when you move. Don't you move a muscle until you hear the angelic armies. And you know who's talking to you, don't you, David? I am the Lord of hosts. I am the Lord of the angel armies. New Testament uses that same term and says, Lord Sabaoth. When you see Lord Sabaoth, I think on two occasions in the New Testament, that's the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the angel armies. The Lord of the angel armies told him, hallelujah, you got a storm going on here. Hallelujah. But wait till I send the reinforcement. Wait until I say move. Hallelujah. And when I say move, you better move. You better bestir, because we got the angel armies going ahead, but they're not marching on the ground. They marching at the top of the mulberry trees. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And you got to move. Sometimes our trouble is designed to take us into consecration before the Lord, to love on him a little bit, to let him work some things out in us, Lord. It's a time of purification. It's a time of purging. It's a time of cleansing. Hallelujah. We are blood-washed strangers and pilgrims. Every generation and every local assembly needs some storm talkers. Some sold out intercessors and proclaimers who won't panic when Jesus allows the boat to get rocked. What did we learn from this lesson? Well, one thing is following Jesus does not insulate us from the storms of life. You couldn't get any closer to him than his disciples. They were his family. They practically lived together. Jesus was a marketplace preacher. Hallelujah. He didn't get invited to the cathedrals. Hallelujah. He's in the marketplace. He's walking through fields and preaching the word. Hallelujah. And we're not insulated from the storms of life. Now, that's a hard truth right there, because we know we have favor with God, right? We know that we belong to him, that blood was shed to purchase us, and we've been washed in that blood through the power of baptism in his name, that we have a right, hallelujah, to the tree of life. We have regained, in a sense, that which was lost in the Garden of Eden, in that we can walk with the Lord in the cool of the Eden. We can have fellowship with him. Praise God. We have authority that he gives us. We can take authority over situations and demons and all that. We even got the power to resist the devil, and the devil can flee from us. Hallelujah. We have the authority to live right. We've been born again, not by the will of flesh, but by the power of his Holy Ghost, so that we can stop doing the stuff that we know God didn't down the cross. Not God, but Jesus then down the cross so that we can continue doing it, but to take that from us. Hallelujah. And so, hallelujah, we have authority. We have power. And sometimes the storms push us back to the altar. The storm pushes us back to the place of consecration. The storms push us to a point of self-examination. The storm push us to the point where we have to lean on our faith. Leaning on our faith is not just a choice of what I'm going to do today. It's survival. It's our lifeline. Hallelujah. And so sometimes the Lord will allow those storms. Hallelujah. So that we can go into consecration. And not only that, there's somebody watching our lives who wants to see. You've been talking big. You've been preaching hard. You've been talking the talk. Now, can you walk the walk? And God's people can walk the walk, but we can't walk it in our own strength. That's a big mistake. Hallelujah. If you, Lois Lane, Jimmy Olsen, when they got that arch villain coming up there, and Superman is right there, they're not going to jump in front of Superman and say, let me handle this, Superman. They're going to say, Superman, take care of this. Let me back up. Let me find a closet, you know. And so we need to trust God to go before us and fight our battles. We fight our battles in the prayer clause. We need some storm talkers, intercessors, and proclaimers. Hallelujah. It is written. And as Paul did in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, after he talked about the whole armor of God, and then in verse 18, 19, 20, in that realm, he said, pray for me that I might have boldness to speak as I ought to speak. Now, why would he pray for that? Because he had a text that was a threat to his boldness. He knew that the bolder he preached, the quicker he could end up having his head chopped up. Hallelujah. Beaten, mistreated. And no human being, no matter how much they love God, wants to be beaten, wants to be killed. You don't want that. That's not what you wake up in the middle of the night and say, oh Lord, let me get stabbed. Let me get shot. Let them shoot some arrows in me. No, your flesh doesn't want that. But it's the nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. And his will is always perfect, no matter what it looks like to us. Hallelujah. And there will be storms. There were storms in 2024. There will be storms in 2025. I'll go first. I'll hear from the saints. Most of you know my storms. My brother's sick. We're less than 2 years apart. My mama used to always say, y'all cut out all that wrestling. Y'all 22 months apart, cut out all that wrestling. We were buddies. We shared the same room until he went off to the Navy when he was 18 or 19. And then I was left behind. I missed my brother. Started out, I think he had basic training in somewhere in Mississippi. He was in the Navy. And then he ended up in San Diego. He didn't have to go to the war, but it was the Vietnam War era. I don't know how he got out of it. I don't know if he got out of it. I guess they had to have somebody on the base in San Diego. And that's what the Lord allowed. And then after 2 years of service, he got out. And then on my 18th birthday, my mama said, go down to the post office and register for the selective service, which means the draft. And I said, yes, ma'am. I went down there. I registered for the selective service. I don't really know what happened. That was in 1974, toward the end of the war. I never got called up. I was planning to go to college and all that. As a matter of fact, in 1974, I didn't turn 18 until September of that year. So I graduated from high school in June. But in September, as a freshman in college, I marched my little behind down to that, just like my mama said. And I don't know what I'd have done. I would have had to go if they called me to go into the military. There wasn't no, well, we're going to be a volunteer army. It was by law. And I signed up. I did what my mama told me to do. And God took care of me. Hallelujah. I didn't have to go. We were close growing up. We were close as adults. We're close now. And as far as I know, I'm the only person he still recognizes. And I'm thankful for that. Sometimes you have to pick something to be thankful about. But it's a storm for me. Hallelujah. I'm telling you the truth. And my precious sister died in September. And she took care of me when I was a little boy. I thank God for her. And, you know, work, other issues. So 2024 was some storms. But you know what? Hallelujah. The Lord allowed me to continue on. The Lord allowed me to praise him every day and pray to him every day. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful. I'm really thankful. But nobody enjoys pain. Hallelujah. But God is grateful. And God is great. Hallelujah. So, we shudder to think about the storms that may come in 2025, but it's going to be a blessed year overall. Going to be a blessed year. And even the storms, hallelujah, will produce something in us if we allow it to. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, not our will, but his will. And so we have to learn how to yield. And human beings won't yield without trouble, just like a child. If you don't correct a child, if you don't instruct a child, hallelujah, they won't learn. If you won't teach them not to touch stuff that's hot, they'll touch stuff that's hot. If you don't keep them from doing dangerous stuff, they'll do dangerous stuff. So anybody else want to talk about a storm that may have affected them in 20? It could have been something that happened earlier than 2024, but it could have become a storm for you in 2020. Anybody else want to talk about that? I'm not gonna insist. I'm not gonna hold you hostage with that question. But if somebody wants to talk about storm, or give a testimony, or have questions or comments pertaining to the lesson, the floor is open. Storms.
Your boat wants to tell about her storm. In 2024, most of you know that Samantha was in the hospital for a little over 3 weeks, and she was diagnosed with what they thought she had was a rare condition. And after a numerous amount of tests, it wasn't what they thought it was, but it was even rarer, if that's the word, rarer than what they thought it was, of what she was diagnosed with a gene mutation. And you know, I remember you were preaching one Sunday, and you know, I remember going to the hospital, and I was like, "Well, God, I prayed about it, so that's it. I'm not gonna worry about it anymore. I prayed about it. I gave it to the Lord. That's it." And I didn't worry about it. Samantha didn't worry about it either. And yeah, you telling them, yeah. And what she was diagnosed with, all research shows that it's fatal within the first week of life if untreated. And she went untreated for 7 months.
Hallelujah.
And it just shows how God was covering and keeping her, protecting Hallelujah. Her. We didn't know. She showed no signs up until, you know, she wasn't gaining weight. That was a, you know, a trigger. But what she was diagnosed with is fatal. In the first week of life, let me say it slow. In within 7 days of untreatment, it is fatal to an infant.
Oh my God.
She made it 7 months untreated. And look at her talking. She tried to tell her testimony, y'all.
Praise the Lord.
She tell said it, nobody Samantha. Could tell it, but she could tell it.
Tell it, girl.
Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful?
That's just one of the storms that we went through in 2024. And to God be the glory. Amen. Good teaching, Pastor.
Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? It can be about a storm in 2024. It can be about a testimony. It can be about a question or a comment about the Bible study tonight. Either way, floor is open, saints. I'm gonna ask you. Go ahead, Elder.
I have a question. When you talk about the mulberry tree,
mm-hmm.
How tall is that? Do you have any idea?
Well, it's not actually a mulberry tree. That's what the scripture says, but it's something that was indigenous to the area. It's a tall tree. It's an actual tree. It's not bushes. So
it's like the angels were walking over the trees. They were just really like walking in midair. So they were walking above on top of the trees.
Yes.
When you hear the sound. Yeah, I find that to be kind of cool. Yeah.
The sound of a going, the sound of marching. Let me turn to that. 2 Samuel 5. It's in another, it's repeated again. But I typically go to the 2 Samuel 5 version of it, starting at verse 17. And it's good. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, came up to kill him. And David heard of it and went down to the hold, the stronghold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, see, he'd been in consecration all those years. Shall I go up to the Philistines? Will thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I would doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And David came to Baal-perazim. That is the Lord of breaking through. That's the name of the place. And David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before as the breach of water, like a flood. Therefore, he called the name of the place Baal-perazim. And there they left their images. And David and his men burned them, the little fake gods they had. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. They came again to the same valley. Verse 23, and when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be when thou hearest the sound of a gong, the sound of angelic troops marching in the top of the mulberry tree, then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so, as the Lord had commanded, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. So I have preached that from the topic of sound of a going. I've also preached it from the topic of the Lord of breaking through. And every one of us needs breakthroughs. Anybody else? Questions, comments, brief testimonies, comments about storms in 2024. All right.
Just before you talked about personal storms, I was going to ask you, because you know you were asking us about people named in the Bible who went through storms. I was going to say, well, my name's not in the Bible, but Sheila Maxwell. I was going to say it because you know you can't, you cannot have been born into this life without having suffered something, especially if you're a child of God. There's no way you can go through this life without going through some kind of something. But I'm thankful to God that he provides, he equips, he carries us. Whatever he needs to do, he does it for us. And I am so grateful to God for being that kind of God, that he loves us so much that he brings us through it, you know. And sometimes you don't even know, like sometimes you might go through something for a long time, but when you come through it, you'll be like, well, when, you know, when did that happen? When, you know, when did I get to this side of that thing? And mm-hmm. I just thank God for that. That's it.
Amen. Here's the thing we have to be mindful of. And that's why our devotional life, our life of consecration is so important and personal for us. I mentioned the other day, I was speaking kind of fast. I'm in the middle of preaching. And I believe I may have said our son died in 2001, but he died in 2021, December 27, 2 days after Christmas. The last text I got from him was on Christmas. He said, I'm blessed to have a mighty man of God like you in my life. I cherish that. That was in 2021. It's 2025. In 2024, every now and then a storm would blow up about my son being gone away from us. It never did paralyze me, but it sure did hurt. And we just kept going. We just kept going by God's grace, trusting him. And we kept on praising him. We kept on enjoying life. I keep trying to make First Lady laugh. I'm so silly. Y'all would say, is that my pastor acting like that? Just to keep to be, work on our relationship, to work on laughing together, to remembering the good times and the great times and all of that. But it's hard to bury someone who once sat on your knee and brought such joy to your life. And so the storm will come up suddenly every now and then, and we go on. And God has been good. And hallelujah. It most certainly has brought me to consecration, deeper prayer life, and more compassion. Most men, and I am a guy, you know, and I'm rough around the edges, you know. Because there are times in my life where I had to be to survive, to deal with bullies and to deal with lawyers. There are times early in my career, I told y'all I had a case taking a deposition. I was there, there by myself representing some black architects. And there were literally 13 other lawyers in the room objecting, asking, you know, just showing out in front of the clients and all that. Years later, every one of those lawyers who was based in Tennessee, some were from other states, but like 8 or 10 of them came to me and said I did an incredible job. They tried to make me feel like I was the stupidest little boy that ever tried to walk into a courtroom. They said I did a fantastic job. And one of them, the senior of them, the most prominent of them, worked on my campaign. My campaigns, my first two campaigns. He died in his 80s after the second one. I went to his funeral and I cried. And that's something I hadn't done much of at that point in my life. And I cried. And one of his partners came up to me, law partners, and said they had never seen him work that hard for any other candidate. He said, he sure did care for you. Now, I would not have known it because he's one of those rough guys. I never would have known it. But his law partners who had worked with him for years and years said to me that this guy must have really, really cared for you. They have never seen him go out of his way for somebody, having all these meetings and doing all these things. And so what does that tell you? What looked like being swamped with 13 lawyers in the room, God used it to plant some seeds of favor that I would need when I got into an unfamiliar arena, which is politics, and have somebody who knew politics backwards and forward go out of his way like he had never gone out of his way for any other candidate. And I didn't even know it until after the man passed. We have storms. And we have the ability, if we want to be like Jesus, to be storm talkers on behalf of ourselves and on behalf of our brothers and sisters, intercessors, proclaimers. Anybody else?
I would just praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
I would just like to kind of piggyback on, you know, what's been said and, you know, just realizing that those trials come to make us strong. When you're going through those things, it's important to have people around that are surrounding you with positivity and praying for you and everything, because it can be a very difficult situation. I'm reminded of my son-in-law, especially, you know, who had this rare blood cancer, and it was very hard on the family. You know, he and my daughter, you know, they were kind of like newlyweds, and you know, they were both doing really well in their careers, and he was just blindsided by it. And so I thank the Lord that, you know, that they have a good church there. And I thank God for praying saints at this church that helped to pray him through it. Because, you know, you raise your children in the church. And I thank God for that, because they know, you know, she knew where her help came from. You know, she's a praying girl. And because I know when I was going through, when I was very ill, my husband was there praying for me and everything. And in her situation, you know, she had her husband, he never complained. And he was in a lot of pain, but she said he never complained. And so I just thank God in honoring him, and that he blessed and
you know, they were able to even conceive. And so she's 8 months pregnant now. And but we still solicit prayer because he had to go back in and have another biopsy done. And I'm soliciting you all to just continue to pray, you know, for them, that this one will come out clean. And, you know, they both are very dedicated to the Lord. And I just appreciate you all, because I know you all have been praying and have prayed when they were going through, but I'm just asking you all to just continue to pray, and that all continues to be well. And I believe God. I trust and I believe God, because God is a healer. And I thank God for hope. You know, when you're going through things, you know, if you don't know the Lord, you don't have any hope. But my hope is in God, and I know God can do anything. And I thank God for, you know, for their optimism, you know, as they're going through. You know, they don't have sad stories, you know, to tell about the situation. They're just, you know, honoring God. And I just thank God for it. I just thank God for how he brought them through 24. And I'm trusting God and being positive and knowing that God's going to bring them through 25 with a healthy baby, and he's going to have a clean bill of health, because that's the kind of God we serve. God can, mm-hmm. when you trust God in situations, no matter, and nothing is too big for God. Nothing's too hard for God. And I'm just so thankful of the knowledge of who he is, because I mean, if you don't trust God to do it, who can you trust? You know, mm-hmm. Even the doctors, of course, and all that they do, is because God has given them, you know, the knowledge to do certain things. And I thank God for anointing doctors and nurses and all in their education and their skills to be a help for others. But I just want to thank God, you know, that through it all, they've been very optimistic, been very positive, and God has done. God did what he said he was going to do in 24, and I'm trusting that he's going to do it again, because he said, ask and you shall receive. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean everything's going to go, you know, the way you want it, but I have faith and I'm trusting God, you know, that he'll be there. And I'm asking you all to continue to pray with us. And I just thank God for each of you. And, you know, and all of us have been through something. You know, all of us have been through something. As Sister Sheila was saying, you know, you go through these different things. And but just knowing that God, you know, is a God that can do anything but fail. And I remember I used to quote that scripture, I shall live and not die and proclaim the good works of the Lord. And that's the scripture that I held on to. And I had hope in God that he was going to do it. And he did it. And I just thank God. I just thank God for just being such a merciful God, such a good God, and such a faithful God. And I'm looking forward to what he's going to do in 2025. And, you know, and I'm my trust is in him.
Amen.
Amen.
That's very beautiful. Sister Brasher. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So we started a few minutes late, so y'all don't get all antsy on it. We started at about 7:07 or 7:08. So I guess we're going to go before the Lord in prayer. Is there somebody else want to say anything?
I just want to tell everyone, you know, thank praise God, and you know, everybody knows my storm, and but I want to thank God that even in the storm, there has been happy times, and so the umbrella was up, and it held strong. So, and I praise God for that. I praise God for, because truly, what I've gone through. In 18 months, I lost my mom, my brother, and my son, and that's a lot. And I just praise God for holding my hand through it, because not oftentimes can you do that and still be standing. And I have been standing strong only because of him, because of God, because of my family being strong with me. So you all just continue to pray that I'll be what God is calling me to be, because I feel like there's still more, so much more to do in the kingdom. So thank you for today. This was a really, really good message, really great Bible study. And I love the comments, and I love you all.
Amen.
Love you too.
Yeah, we... First Lady is one of those people you can't help love. She'll make you love. She'll be in your face. She'll fight you if you don't love her. But I appreciate
that
it.
That's so funny.
I praise the Lord for her. I am eventually, I'm not going to promise it's going to be next week, but I am eventually going to be able to get into what I was going to talk to you about on New Year's Eve. We ran into a time issue, but it was a God issue. It was the flow of the service, and we let the flow go as the flow of the Spirit and the flow of what was happening in the service go. So I touched on what I was going to talk about. But I want to spend some time during the Bible class talking about it in such a way that you do get a chance to have, you know, when I'm preaching, there's no actual time, opportunity for questions and comments. But I want to get into that, where we were talking about following hard after God, and then the semi-topic, the subtopic, I mean, was... called to more. And we've been called to more. What had happened was I'm going to be real brief. I had written it in the chat, but I never sent it. You know, what the scripture was and all that, I never sent it. And then in the lesson that night, because of time, I touched on it, but not able to teach it. So I got in the beginning of the service on New Year's Eve, say, it's in your chat. Well, it wasn't in your chat because I never pushed send. And then after finding out I had done that, I was embarrassed. I deleted it or whatever. So, but it's important because it relates to how we're going to proceed in 2025. And it is spiritual. It is about how we approach walking with God. And I'm already extending myself in ways that I normally would. Somebody called me today, a young man having some kind of legal issue. And I talked to him and I said, when you coming back to Bread of Heaven? He said, I've been meaning to, and I've been trying to get my friends to go. I said, okay, before, whether you get back this week or whenever, man, you need to break bread. He said he would love that. I'm going to sit down with him and talk to him one-on-one about the Lord and about his life. And so y'all pray for me. And we're going to definitely be praying for Brother Stan, the Brasher's son-in-law, and Sister Courtney, their daughter, who is a precious, I knew her when she was, I don't know how old she was, in 2003 or four when I went to that church. So that was, she had to be like, I don't know, a child, less than 10 years old.
She was about like
9 or 10. 9 or 10 years old. I've known her since then. A precious child, a precious woman of God now. So, yeah, it's not hard to pray for them. They are uniquely wonderful people. Same thing about her, the Brasher's son, who's in my Sunday school class. So I'm going to stop talking. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you intervene. Lord, I put Sister Carol Duncan on the altar, her niece, Anisha, the niece's boyfriend, Siobhan, the little baby, the beautiful baby girl, all on the altar. Whatever's going on, Lord, we understand that Brother Javon may be incarcerated. There's some chance of DCS coming in about the baby, not because of abuse. And Lord, we ask that you step in. And Lord, there's a lot swirling. The devil is busy, but we don't give him any glory. Lord, we ask that you step in. Father, in the name of Jesus, we put Brother Stan, Sister Courtney, the baby, all on the altar. Lord, we ask that you heal and that you bring them through, Lord, hallelujah, healthy and sound in the bodies. Lord, we ask that you cover and bless that family in every respect. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Sister Brasher's mother, Mother Subtle, Lord, bless her, strengthen her, heal her, encourage her. In the name of Jesus, others among us who have been some we hadn't seen in a while. Sister Barbara Grant, I don't know all the details concerning her, but Lord, in the name of Jesus, bless her, whatever it is. If something's going on in her body, bless her. Our dear sister, Sister Jackie, who we love so much, Lord, we ask that you bless her and what her situation is. She knows something about a storm. Hallelujah. She has gone through the pain of having a son murdered. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, let her feel the love we have for her. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, bring your covering, your comfort, your peace. And when that storm tries to kick up, Lord, in the name of Jesus, give her, Lord, a song of praise, a testimony. Hallelujah. A word of kindness, a word of healing for somebody else. And through that sowing of that, continue to heal her. And Lord, bless the saints, Lord. Those who are not 100% in their bodies, Lord, but they're doing okay. Touch them, Lord. Give them greater strength and energy. Give them, hallelujah, mobility and capability, Lord. Give them peace. Don't let them worry about this or that or this aching pain or this stiffness or this issue or this medical test. Lord, in the name of Jesus, bless, Lord. All among us, all under the sound of my voice, Lord. Bless us, Lord, and bless their families and their loved ones and their situations and the things that they would keep them up at night, but for their trust in you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come. Lord. Hallelujah. You know we're coming from our hearts. This is not form, Lord. It's not a show. It's not external. Lord, it's spiritual. Lord, we come, Lord, because, Lord, we need you. Hallelujah. And we have confidence in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you have the last word, and you have the victory, and you have the power, and you are the healer, and you are the lover of our souls, and you are the deliverer, and you are the one, hallelujah, that gives us authority to speak to the storms, hallelujah, and to be proclaimers and interceders, Lord, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. And Lord, you know, hallelujah, to how to turn a big storm, hallelujah, hallelujah, into a little storm. And then you can take that little storm and banish it. Hallelujah. Bless in the name of Jesus. Intervene, please, Lord, in the name. Cover the minds and hearts of our people. And let, hallelujah, don't let shame settle on any of our people, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't let them say, I am messed up. Let them say, I messed up, Lord, I repent, and Lord, bless me. Don't say, I am messed up, hallelujah, because, hallelujah, Lord, you got us in your hands, and we're not to stay, we're not in a permanent situation of being messed up. We may have messed up, hallelujah. But we, hallelujah, we don't have shame. We have victory. We have deliverance. We have power. We have authority. And Lord, help us, Lord, if there's somebody among us who's stumbling, there's somebody among us who's returning to something that they don't want to return to. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you break that you obliterate, hallelujah, that you, hallelujah, remove, hallelujah, that you interrupt the cycle of sin and shame and weakness, hallelujah, and thinking that you can't help it, and thinking that this is the only gratification you can get out of it. But Lord, in the name of Jesus, we speak to this thing. We speak into this storm. Hallelujah, praise God. And we're just believing together, Lord, as brothers and sisters who sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, as those who have been blood washed, Lord, hallelujah. Those who believe your word, Lord, we believe, Lord, you can intervene and turn some things around. We're tired of this stuff keep happening. We're tired of these stubborn problems coming back. Lord, in the name of, we want to get somebody off the hamster wheel, Lord, hallelujah, and make some real progress in you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We come in your name. We come in your authority. Hallelujah. Praise God. We believe, Lord, hallelujah. We love, hallelujah, our brothers and sisters. We love you, Lord, hallelujah. We have confidence in you, Lord, hallelujah. It doesn't matter whether we see this or that, hallelujah. We can see you, and we can see your word. And we know, Lord, hallelujah, you're able to do exceedingly abundant above what we can ask or think, Lord, hallelujah, and that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And your scripture says, hallelujah, with God, nothing shall be impossible.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
So we believe it. We stand on it, Lord. And Lord, we ask. And Lord, we know this is a sensitive thing. And you gave us a sensitive scripture for it. Hallelujah. That your strength is made perfect in our weakness. Jesus. And your grace is sufficient for our mess. Jesus. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. What you went through is not for nothing. It's not for nothing what you've been through. God is working that thing. Hallelujah. He's building something. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're not made to break. We're not made to fail. We're called to more. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In the precious name of Jesus. And we can hold each other up. Hallelujah. All of us are not snared at the same time. Hallelujah. And God causes us, hallelujah, and calls us to come, to swarm over problems and issues in the name of Jesus, and bringing a show of force against the powers of darkness that are coming in and messing with our people and messing with our families. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, 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 ooh, hallelujah. By our authority as men and women of God, we declare, Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, that you're going to do something miraculous in somebody who is snared into something and they can't get out. And then when they get out, sometimes they want to go back. Lord, get in that, hallelujah, and break it.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
In Jesus' name, amen. In
Jesus' name. Elder Perkins, I have a question.
Yes,
will you all still be traveling with the weather forecast as it is this weekend?
At this moment, we're scheduled to fly out tomorrow and fly out Saturday night. Somebody told me today that there's supposed to be maybe 8 inches of snow in Nashville on Friday evening.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what to do. me and First Lady are going to have to talk, and maybe we need to call a bishop. I don't know what is it all the southeast of, or is just us, but we're scheduled to fly out in the morning.
Mm-hmm. It's the southeast area, so I was just wondering. Sister Maxwell and Sister Malone, were you all going to?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
We changed our minds because of the weather, but okay. I don't know. I don't think it's supposed to snow in Florida. I just think we were driving. We weren't flying. I think it's supposed to snow like in Alabama. And we have to go through Alabama, so.
Mm-hmm. My family's in Alabama, and I know they were saying it's going to be bad there in the northern part of Alabama, but I know it's supposed to be kind of bad there, so I was just wondering, so, you know how issue, to pray.
Please pray. The issue is getting bad.
Getting bad, right.
Okay.
Because we can fly, we should be able to fly out of Pensacola on the... Mm-hmm. Late Saturday afternoon. The question is, so we might have to take some extra pajamas with us or something.
Yes.
But pray for us. Pray for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Okay. We'll all be praying for you all.
Okay. Thank you for asking.
Mm-hmm. And touch God in with you. Us along the way so we'll know you all are fine.
Might have to stay to Sunday.
All right.
Well, Pastor Perkins.
We covered by God's
grace. All right.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Right. Nobody but the devil. I'm mad at him. But amen. God's good. What I'll do is just, I'm going to ask y'all to look on band. Some of y'all, it's against y'all religion to do that, but please look on band. We'll pull up
that. You love that, Sister Beverly, didn't you?
Yeah. I know some of y'all think if you get on band, you won't turn into a salamander or something. Okay. All right. God bless you.
Love you all.
Love you so much.
Love you all.
Bye.
Living Bread. Thank you for listening to Living Bread. Living Bread. Please spread the word about today's broadcast. Living Bread. The call-in number is 615-270-1514. Bread of Heaven Church is an outpost for the glory of God. Sunday morning worship is at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come worship with us, 2430 Jefferson Street, Nashville, Tennessee. You will be blessed.